Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News, the podcast about our town, our people. This week's edition, number 18, published on the 20th of March, kicks off with the main stories from Rugby Town and all around, gathered with the help of the excellent local newspapers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser. We hear about upset at Travel Chaos and a call for doctor-led urgent care provision at St Cross and more. We'll have a bit of a what's on. And then I want to encourage you to go along to the Rugby Art Gallery and Museum again to see an exhibition that is only on for this week, finishing next weekend on the 29th of March. It's called Flourishing. The artists are not who you might normally expect, but they create true art. Through self-reflection, they seek to communicate through two- and three-dimensional media, using basic materials that are close at hand. They're very personal stories, feelings, hopes and fears that they discover within themselves. They're reaching out to you with their art and they want you to feed back to them. It's a free exhibition and yet again promising a profound experience to you, the visitor. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast and why not leave a comment or review? We all like feedback. And so, without further ado, here's our news. Now, this is a topic that really riles a lot of people. And now the borough councillors are voicing their concerns ever more loudly. It's the lack of road capacity to support Rugby's housing plans. Rugby Borough Council's planning committee this week approved the development of 108 new affordable homes off Projects Drive, but the bulk of the planning meeting surrounded wider traffic concerns. You see, planning decisions are taken by the Borough Council, but all highways matters referring to the applications are the domain of Warwickshire County Council. No one from the County Highways was at the meeting to explain or discuss the mounting concerns. So at least one councillor, Richard Harrington, Labour, felt he had no scope but to object over highways concerns. I think we need to say to Warwickshire County Council that they must be here. I don't think it's fair on the officers trying to get the information. We need the experts here. What's going to happen in 6, 12 or 18 months when we get more houses at Halton? I'm really, really concerned. Liberal Democrat Councillor Neil Sanderson went a step further, questioning why more capacity had not already flowed from the Halton development. He said, the County Council had a lot of money from the development of Halton. It should be investing into the upgrade of local transport infrastructure. We need to be asking some very serious questions at Shire Hall. Where has the money gone? Why hasn't it improved the road infrastructure? This will chime with many of you, I'm sure. The amount of traffic increasing year on year. Local bottlenecks caused by outdated junction design. And any progress on critical schemes, like the Newbold Road crossing of the River Avon, is, as you'll remember when we reported a month or so ago, it's going to cost an extra £2.4 million going to external consultants to complete the pre-design and justification stage. And if it's not justified, the local council are in danger of being made to pay back that £2.4 million. It's madness. There seems something fundamentally wrong with the system. The relationship between us, the residents of this fast-growing town, our councillors on our behalf, trying to plan for all the predictable growth pains, and the authorities further afield. Just look at the hoo-ha over St Cross and the need to get at least the provision of a doctor-led urgent care service, never mind a fully functioning A&E. Speaking of St Cross, in the House of Commons last week, MP John Slinger raised concerns about just that, the lack of doctor-led urgent care at Rugby's Hospital of St Cross. Mr. Slinger told Health Secretary Wes Streeting about his constituents' fears and anger over having to travel to Coventry to attend A&E, where long waiting times are commonplace. Mr. Slinger's question came during the Health Secretary's statement about closing NHS England to give more control to ministers and the Department for Health and Social Care and to free up resources for the front line. Well, that's the second time in the last fortnight John has brought it up from the floor of the House of Commons, and let's hope he is heard soon. Elections for a raft of local councillors are happening in early May, May the 1st, in fact. And if you want to vote, you need to be registered. If you are already, great. But if you're not, you still have time to register, but there is a deadline. Now, to check whether you're registered or not, send your name and address to the following email, contact.centre@rugby.gov.uk. That's contact.centre@rugby.gov.uk, and ask if you're registered. If you are desperate, then you can call 01788 533 533 and they'll tell you how to make further progress. If you're not registered, you can't vote. And if you can't vote, you can't moan. Simple as that. If you're not sure, do it now. Go and find out. Each year, the UK throws away more than 100,000 tonnes of e-waste. 100,000 tonnes of what is all types of old, end-of-life or discarded electrical and electronic equipment. And 75% of that is recyclable. Oh, it's just a little battery. Chuck it in the bin. Oh, it's only an old remote for that CD player we used to listen to Lady in Red on. Well, now the number of excuses for not recycling them are running out as Rugby Borough are making it dead easy to do the right thing. And who wouldn't want to recycle it if it contains valuable metals such as gold, copper and lithium? Used batteries and small electrical items can now be recycled thanks to a new curbside collection service to help us dispose of these items safely and keep them out of landfills. All you have to do is leave the used batteries and broken electrical items on top of your black refuse or your blue lid recycling bins on the normal bin collection day. Make sure you put the electrical items inside a loosely tied carrier bag, preferably a biodegradable one, and put batteries separately in their own bag and leave them on top of the blue or the black bins. The bin boys will collect small electrical items such as mobile phones, remote controls and small kitchen appliances such as kettles and, yes, the wedding planner's favourite, the toaster. But they're not going to accept larger electrical items or hazardous waste. Larger items can still be taken to Hunter's Lane. Three sportswomen from our town have been presented with the Freedom of the Borough. Rugby Borough Council's highest civic honour went to Olympians Lauren Henry and Kimberly Woods, both members of Team GB at last year's Olympic Games in Paris, at a ceremony in the town hall followed by a civic reception. Rugby-born rower Lauren starred in one of the most dramatic moments at the Paris Games when Team GB quadruple sculling crew edged out the Netherlands with the final stroke to win gold by just 0.15 seconds. Kimberly Woods won two bronze medals after finishing third in both the women's kayak single and kayak cross finals. Number three, judoka Chelsea Giles, was in a training camp in Japan at the time of the ceremony, so a presentation for her will be arranged separately. I have to say I met them briefly at the Christmas light switch-on, of which I will speak no more, and found them to be charming, modest and charmingly bemused by all the attention. But hey, what a series of achievements. Well done, you three. Oh, finally, a lovely story here. Seems like a couple of interesting pubs here, the George in Kilsby and the Old Lion at Harborough Magna, who, you'll remember, introduced those very popular comedy nights into their offer earlier in the year. Well, now there's news that they're involved in something else really special. The pub's owner, Harry Shankar, is making donations of pack-up meals for the homeless in the borough. Now, Harry Shankar has previously been involved in the distribution of food and hygiene items to homeless people in Birmingham, and he approached Hope 4 to ask what he could do to help the homeless people of Rugby. Hope 4 already serve a lunchtime hot meal for the homeless and provide them with food vouchers for weekends. However, this doesn't cover the evening meal. So the Hope 4 Centre have gratefully agreed to trial pack-up bags, which will contain a sandwich, pack of crisps, fruit and a bottle of water, which are refrigerated until the clients need them at the end of the day. Harry Shankar said, if the pack-ups work, we'll keep doing them. But if the Hope 4 team tell us that clients would benefit more from some other form of support, like access to kitchen staples like bread, cheese and eggs, then we'll help with that. Now that is collaboration and partnership in action. So come on, you businesses across the town, see if you can come up with ways to work with Hope 4 or any other of the local charities to share your expertise with those among us who really need a helping hand. In the meantime, give it a think, perhaps over lunch, and call Hope 4 on 01788 572456. That's 01788 572456. Now, a quick whiz around some of the hotspots for entertainment in the town centre, and we're going to start with CV22. This Saturday, the 22nd, we have the Tovey brothers taking the stage at 9:30. That's brothers Jay, Dan and Matt Tovey, delighting your ears with an eclectic mix of pop, rock and soul. Sunday, there's the quiz night, a super fun quiz night hosted by Quizmaster Paul. That can be only described as irresistible. And then Saturday the 29th, Grammy Award winning Anthony Harty takes the stage at 9:30. Multi-instrumentalist and best known for playing with the Style Council, Anthony is one of Coventry's most celebrated musicians. CV22. By the way, I'm speaking to Ollie in a couple of weeks, and there's some super important musical news that he's going to bring us up to date with, so keep an eye on that. Now, just along the road to the amazing Macready Theatre, a place always to be relied on for high quality and pretty unusual but brilliant stuff, and I'm going, so maybe you're going too, on Monday the 24th of March to see Roshni. Roshni is an intimate crafting of Kathak dance and live global music, inspired by the stories and experiences of everyday people. Featuring three distinctive dance pieces, The Call, The Light and The Wave, Roshni explores the highs and lows of life today and provides hope in an ever-changing world. And we need a bit of that. If you go online and you search YouTube or somewhere for videos of Roshni, you'll be blown away. Tickets are a ridiculously reasonable price of £15 or £12 for concessions. Get online to the Macready Theatre and book your tickets now for Monday the 24th. Now, you may already have been looking forward to the following Saturday, 29th March, to see Eddie Hurst's wonderful Discovery of Witches. Regrettably, due to circumstances beyond anyone's control, it's been cancelled. Now, let's go and have a look and see what's happening at Rugby Theatre. And as you'll know, Rugby Theatre have a fabulous facility for showing films, great sound, wonderful picture quality and no adverts. If it says it's going to start at 7:30, it starts at 7:30. And this weekend, the 21st and 22nd of March, they are showing Hard Truths, which is a comedy drama rated 12A, and that runs on Friday at 7:30 and on Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock and Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, Rugby Theatre in Henry Street. No need to buy a ticket in advance. Turn up, buy your ticket, sit where you like. So let's just pop round the corner now to Quigley's in Albert Street, and looking forward to Thursday the 27th, Jessie May, who's on stage at 9 o'clock. On Friday the 28th, Jessie May, early sessions at 6, and JK's main event at 9.45. Saturday, we've got Ross Edwards' early session 6, and then traditional Irish music main event. And then Sunday, which happens to be Mother's Day, don't forget that, is Ian Jones and Friends at 4pm and Izzy Porter at 6. And finally, ripping down the bottom of North Street to the Ben Hall, on Saturday the 22nd, we can see Ultimate Coldplay. The guy looks like Chris, sounds like Chris, plays like Chris, and everybody else imitates. Apparently, the band does the best Coldplay tribute in the world. They've toured the world, they've done all the festivals, and they're coming to Rugby on the 22nd of March. And a few days later, on Friday the 28th of March, George Michael tribute concert. Back due to popular demand, George Michael Live is a celebration of the music of George Michael and Wham. So that's Friday the 28th, 7:30 at the Ben Hall. Now, that was a roundup of the local news stories about our rugby town. And I am indebted to the excellent local papers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser, for all their help. And hey, for even more detail and even more news stories on the days that they happen, go to their websites or follow them on their Facebook pages. And now we go for a short chat with Hyun Phan at the Art Gallery and Museum. I don't know about you, but the idea of being in prison is truly my worst nightmare. I can't conceive of the emotions that would fill my waking and my sleeping hours. What I would have to face up to day by day, in the place and in my head. It's not something I think about until I met Hyun Phan recently at the Art Gallery and Museum, and she told me about Flourishing, an exhibition on right now in the Floor 1 Gallery.
Yes, we have the exhibition on at the Floor 1 Gallery in Rugby Art Gallery and Museum. This exhibition called Flourishing. This exhibition is partly my works, my artworks. I'm an artist myself, but I work with an organization called Community Art Projects. So they provide art sessions in prison and secure locations like immigration center or mental health units. But mainly prisons. So the artworks was made by prisoner. So we brought all the artworks out. It's not only paintings, also some kind different artworks like origami, that makeshift from match stick. They build model for whatever.
Matchstick models.
Yeah. So they found anything that can be made from prison. Of course, there are a lot of security there. They don't have a lot of equipment and things that we have out here, but they made incredible models. So we will exhibit that.
So it's prisoners' pieces of art they actually make within the prison or the secure unit. And you're exhibiting them here, and will they be selling the artworks or something else?
No, all the artworks from prisoner, we're not selling them, but we're looking forward to have a lot of public feedbacks that we will send back inside the prison to encourage the artists inside to continue and So all the feedbacks are very important. Mainly, it's a vital link between mental health and art that we want to deliver the stories.
So the artists create the work, and it is an important part of an artist's process to actually be able to share it and then get the feedback. So this is filling in that important part of the process.
Yes, absolutely. We... almost every one of them never paint before or never make any art before. But is this the way we approach the sessions differently? It's not an art class. We don't teach them how to make art, but it's the way they express themselves. And most of them, sometimes they, like for example, like immigration center, a lot of people, they can't speak English. But art is a way to deliver their message, their anxiety, like share their emotion in different ways. And for me, art doesn't need to be us or them. It's just art. So we always try to help them to find themselves like in different ways.
Because art is communication. Isn't it? So it helps for the artist, whoever he or she may be, to get their feelings out. Yeah. And it also helps people who may otherwise pass them by to understand that there are other people who have different feelings and stories to tell, and it's all part of the human condition, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's why it's very vital to have public feedbacks. And then we always try to encourage them to continue the path. If they got released, hopefully they can make it on the exhibition time, and they will see how the public's views of their artworks, and hopefully they can find their own way to basically reduce reoffending.
The exhibition, then, aiming to raise awareness about the mental health challenges faced by people behind bars, to foster empathy, helping visitors to view inmates as individuals with talents, stories, emotions, to celebrate the power of creativity, to think about and express your emotions, your story, to someone else, another human being, in the common world language of art. Through producing expressive art and receiving feedback for your work, not about you, but about your art, it completes a cycle and becomes a two-way conversation. And how that, in this case, plays a vital role in the rehabilitation process, promoting self-reflection, building self-confidence, emotional healing and personal growth. I'm off to the exhibition before it ends on the 29th of March to engage in a conversation about art produced by others going through a nightmare. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast, and thank you so much for staying with it. I publish it once a week, every Friday morning, so if you click follow next to Rugby News, or one word, on any of the podcast platforms, you should get a notification when a new one drops, so make sure you do follow. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more, and if you did, others will too, so share the news and spread the word by sharing the Facebook posts and telling your friends about Rugby News, or one word. Any ideas to make it better, of course, let me know. After all, it is your town, your people. Reach me on email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. Okay, I've been Simon. Goodbye.